Well, tonight, unfortunately, we don't have a short speaker other than me. And the reason it's me is because I picked me. And the reason I picked me is because it's Grumpy Old Men Night. And when I came into AA back in the mid-70s, I had a pal back then, but we had kind of worked in the same company, different things, different jobs, different areas, but our paths crossed, and then they crossed again in a place called the Rafters in Newhall, California, which was my home group. And when I was at the Marietta Roundup this year, I ran into a fellow that I hadn't seen from that group for 27 years, and he happens to be our speaker tonight. So I said, how great. One of my old home group guys, you know, how weird is that? I mean, first of all, to have lived this long. Secondly, to have stayed sober to this point for 30-some-odd years. And thirdly, to be reunited in a Marietta Roundup, just wandering around not knowing either was there, and there we are, you know, in Marietta, Georgia, from Newhall, California. Anyway, it's no coincidence. A coincidence was once described as a miracle whereby God prefers to remain anonymous. And that's what I think takes place along our road here. But anyway, that's why I asked to do this, because it just makes me feel good to be sharing on the same program as my friend Jerry, and to us having been reunited after all these years. It makes me feel good to know that someone else made it along the path too. As I said, not only in sobriety, but in years that we're still here. I would always have only had two talks, 1 hour and all night, and I never know which one I've started. So hopefully you can get the hook and get me off here in a couple of minutes. Many of you know me and know my life today, but have really not much idea what my life might have been like 32 years ago. And the best way I can describe it is the way it kind of ended up. I had gotten my car back that I hadn't had for 2 months. I got it back on Friday, and I totaled it on Sunday. I had it for a day and a half after waiting 2 months to get my car. That happened. My picture was in the paper. My company was reading the paper, and it mentioned my DUIs again. And so the job was going, because without a driver's license, I couldn't do my job. My wife had thrown me out 6 months before. I used to say we separated. She threw me out is what happened. And I was living in a one-room place with a 13-year-old, demolished car. 13-year-old car. I had a couple of suits, and that was about it. That was my life at that time. And I had kind of used up everything that was possible for me to use up in friendships and relationships and just my life in general. And I had used up my last dollar. I had gotten laid off from my work. Actually, I was so egotistical that I asked them to lay me off. I said, if I have to lay off one more person, lay me off. And they laid me off. Never thinking they would, of course, but they did. And I'd spent my last dime, and I had to borrow enough money from one of my drinking pals to let me pay my rent for the next month. And there I sat, all alone. And I considered many things. Not the least of which was to take my own life. I don't think I ever did. My brother did, but I didn't. I just couldn't do that. I think I was doing it slowly and in other ways. I tried to kill myself in a number of major automobile accidents. I had my head split from front to back and all kinds of cool things. But anyway, life was just miserable, and I could see no way out of this spiral that I had gotten into. And my poor little old mom would say, oh, Pat, you know, what's happened to you? What happened to all this promise that we had for you? You know, you were going to do so well. And I said, Mom, I haven't any idea. I really don't know what happened to me. All I know is that here I am. And so my youngest brother called me and said, don't you think it's about time? I said, about time for what? He said, about time you come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, happened, and what the hell you're talking about? He said, we talked about it 6 months ago, Pat. I said, I have no recollection of that conversation, and I didn't. So he invited me to come to AA, and I came, and it was like the clam at high tide. I liked this joint the day I showed up. I liked everything about it, even the fact that they weren't drinking. Now, I went to a Saturday night meeting. It was a speaker meeting like this. A couple hundred people came every Saturday night. And this big sand. I had this great big old smile. He grabs my hand. He says, "Hi, newcomer." He said, "Welcome." He said, "We got a chair right here for you." And I took that literally. I sat in that chair for the next 2 years thinking that was my seat. He said, "This is your chair." You would know no different. He said, "This is your chair." And so that's where I sat. But I remember Sam's big smile. And you know, he made me feel so welcome when I showed up that particular night. And then I've been to different meetings every night from then on. On Monday night, I went to the North Hollywood Men's Stag meeting. And I remember that one so vividly because there was a fellow who came there from about 50 miles away to come there every Monday night. And I assumed, well, the only reason you would come there is simply because you didn't want anybody in your area to see you going to an AA meeting. But what he said, he said, "You know, I come down here from Palmdale, where I live, to this meeting because there's a lot of sobriety in this room. There's a lot of people with 10, 20, and 30 years sobriety." And he said, "That encourages me to want to go on when I hear their inspirational stories." And he said, "Newcomers," he said, "if you're in this room and you have any problems with alcohol, let me tell you," he said, "you don't have to pay any more dues if you don't want to." He said, "Your dues are paid up the day you get here. You don't have to hurt anymore if you don't want to." He said, "And if you give this program half as much time as you gave to drinking, you'll be a winner." I said, "Oh my God, how would you give something half as much time as you gave to drinking?" I said, "That would take most of my time, you know, just to get sober." But I did. And, you know, everything that he has said came true for me. I have had what I describe a life beyond my wildest dreams since coming to AA. I went from absolutely zero in my own mind to a legend in my own mind, so to speak. Just the way things worked out. And it's not exactly that way, but what I'm saying is that today I have an appreciation and value for myself, and I can take that and apply it to you. I don't have to look up at anybody, and I don't have to look down at anybody anymore. I got real level-eyed with the world. And that's not the way I felt when I showed up. I didn't even know how I was going to handle this DUI situation. I had hired an AA lawyer, and they're very clever. He said, "Well, we'll just get this thing deferred. He did for about a year and a half. He said, "Now," he said, "Pat, I think we..." He said, "They've denied you the right to a fair and speedy trial." He says, "Kind of akin to killing your parents, then pleading for mercy because you're an orphan." But anyway, it worked. And when I got down there about a year and a half later, by then I was very involved in the penitentiary work and carrying messages to a penitentiary for about 5 years. Well, at that time, it was only about a year and a half. And the judge said to me, "Mr. Hilton, that's all we ever wanted you to do, you know, is just join in with the rest of us and try to make the world a little bit better instead of trying to tear it up." And so he let me go. He didn't give me anything, a small fine, and that was the end of that. My life has worked like that. I've never looked for a job since I've come to AA. My telephone always rang, and a voice on the other end would say, "You want to try this?" I said, "That sounds great." And I'm the type to say, "Yeah, I'll try it." If I'm in a town where I think I knew somebody 20 years ago, I'm the guy that shows up. It's important to me, you know. I'm just one who likes relationships with people, and I just love being a part, especially of the AA deal. And what helped me most of all were the people that I hung around in AA. I was fortunate enough to have great sponsorship and to have people who would go the extra mile with me. You know, they didn't have to be home at 9:15. Our meetings in California are typically an hour and a half. We don't have... I'd never been to an hour meeting until I came to Georgia. I wondered what happened. How could they get it so fast here? I said, anyway... people would stay. We would go to Dupar, a restaurant, after the meeting, stay there till midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you know. And when you're new, it's so important to have somebody just to talk with and share and get some ideas and just have somebody even care to be at the same table with you was a wonderful thing. It really was, because when you burn everybody out, I don't know, it's hell when you're in bad company, when you're by yourself. I was in bad company. I didn't like me, so I was in lousy company. Today, I like to be alone. My company is a lot better than it used to be. I enjoy my thoughts and some alone. I don't ever feel lonely today, ever. Jerry and I have had a lot in common, not only in how long we've lived in our sobriety, but opportunities I'm sure he'll tell you about, of traveling. We've been around the world, lots of meetings all over the place. The doors just opened up when I found that I did my part. Somehow or another, the world did its part for me. And it says to it in our book here, "See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others." So it says for you and countless others. I mean, there's no limit on this deal. The only limits I have found in AA are the ones I put on me. But I have found the world to be very encouraging and acknowledging if I just sign up and do my part of the deal. And it's a wonderful journey. You know, just stick around is all I can say. Hang around the people who like to be sober. I run like the plague if I hear, I'm sober, but it sucks, you know. I'm going to be down the road when I hear that somewhere. I said, I'll let anybody add to my life, but nobody subtract from my life. You know, you can add any dimension you wish to my life, but you cannot take a thing away from me anymore. I just don't allow that. And that's what we learn here. We learn to value ourselves and value our time on the planet and who we hang around and what we do. But anyway, we have a wonderful speaker tonight, my pal Jerry, and I'm going to give you all a few minutes for a break and tell you to please keep coming back and help us with this meeting. I'm used to meeting speaker meetings of long ago. I'm serious when we say 100, 200, 400 people come every Friday night to a speaker meeting. Mike and others have gone to great lengths to find us a lot of wonderful speakers. There are many yet to come. And we tried to divide it women and men. We tried to have a little bit of everything. And with a variety of stories, because no one person identifies with any other person's complete life. We all have little nuances in our lives. So I wish you would help us spread the word and encourage others to come with us. And we promise you that we'll do our best to keep these the people who have been sober for at least 10 years or more. And I find I learned so much more. I wasn't allowed to go to a discussion meeting when I came to AA. My sponsors insisted I go to speaker meetings or 12 and 12 meetings. We didn't talk about the weather or springtime or our new cars. We talked about AA activities and how this program works. And I think that was the basic understanding that we had when we started this program, was to help new people comprehend what is AA, what goes on here. You know, and so the speaker meetings gave me a tremendous level of inspiration and desire to want to go ahead. When I heard how lives turned from this to this, I learned that alcohol will show you how low you can go, and AA will show you how high you can go. There's no question about it. I personally know a man who was in the White House who ended up on Skid Row. I personally know a man who was on Skid Row who ended up in the White House. And I personally know a president's press secretary who died of our disease in the last 5 years. So alcohol, it'll kill anything living, preserve anything dead. Come to AA. Thank you very much. That's enough right now.